This is the Tuesday edition of Squawk 1200 on EAA Radio. I'm Fareed Guillot.
And I'm Paul Prydecker. We had a great day yesterday, and we're off to a good start today.
We have a lot of good guests. We'll talk about that in just a moment. It's about 12. It's high noon, 81 degrees. Going to climb up to 84. It's starting to get a little muggy out there, but it's going to be a nice day to enjoy airplanes and everything aviation. But right now, joining us is Dr. Ian Johnson, a perennial guest. We'd love to have him, a psychologist from the FAA Weather Research Branch. So tell us, what is the normalization of deviance?
Well, thank you for having me. I appreciate it. It's a topic that is very dear to me. Normalization of deviance is basically human beings, more so pilots, taking shortcuts, which end up becoming a norm. One would be not using a checklist. Now, sometimes you may be in a hurry, so you may omit using the checklist at that point in time. But once you start going down that path, and it continues like that, it becomes normalization, right? And that's a very, very dangerous road to actually, or path to take. There have been many accidents, for instance, like unstabilized approaches. If you're coming in to land and the approach is not working for you or it's not doing well, then you need to go around. Don't try to force the airplane on the ground. And a lot of pilots have done that and end up killing themselves.
And of course, what's interesting is every pilot has been trained how to go around.
Exactly.
It's not a knowledge problem. I think it's an attitude issue, right?
Well, that's what I keep saying. A lot of these issues that we run into with pilots, to me, I think it's personal. It's a behavioral problem, right? So when you go to flight school, you spend a lot of money to learn to fly. You're trained to fly the right way, unless the instructors have that behavior too, and they pass it on to their students, which is not good. But then when you go there, you get all this experience. Now you start to say things like, I don't need a checklist. I've been flying this airplane for a long time. I know where everything is. Well, once you start doing it once or twice, it becomes a habit. Mm-hmm. And that's when it becomes normalized.
Yeah, I was just going to ask you, how long does it take for people to kind of normalize a bad habit in the airplane in your research that you've seen?
Well, it can take a year. It could take 2 years. It all depends. You know, like I said, it could start whereby you're running late, right? So rather than do a walk around the aircraft, you just hop in the airplane. You don't check the fuel or anything, and you just crank it up when you leave.
Another one I've heard is, well, it's just a short flight. What could possibly happen?
Exactly. Well, a lot of stuff can happen in a short flight.
You bet.
Yeah. You know, and what may work, you know, I always say what may work once, that doesn't mean it'll work again.
When we used to, at the airline, I had information from our Aviation Safety Action Program, and 80% of the ASAP reports contained the words rushed, distracted, or fatigued. And we used to tell people the reason for using the checklist is not to make sure everything goes right when everything's going right, but it's to make sure everything goes right when those other factors are involved.
Exactly. And you've got a very good point, because some of the research that I've seen, and I have it in a presentation that I'm doing on Friday at 8:30 outside of the forum for the EAA, it talks about distraction, it talks about fatigue. Look at it this way: when you're running late, let's say not to get in an airplane, just to leave for work, 9 out of 10 times you will forget something, right?
And maybe, if you, for me, maybe more.
Exactly, right? And if you start going to work late one day and your supervisor doesn't do anything about it, it becomes normalized behavior, right? So we are a creature of habits. And what I want to stress is that the rules are there for you to follow them. Yeah, you may not like the rules, but they're there for you to follow them. And most pilots who have this, you know, one of the five attitudes, which you know about, anti-authority, the rules doesn't apply to me, eventually it's going to come and bite you.
Yeah, the problem with the, you know, the hazardous attitudes is I think every pilot would admit at one time or another they've exhibited that attitude.
Exactly.
Hopefully not all five at the same time.
Exactly, because then you really have a problem. Yeah. And I think flight instructors have a role to play. They can actually sift out those attitudes during the training process, One of the things I also emphasize on when I brief instructors or present to instructors and pilots, that they need to make it a habit for their students to brief them before every flight. And you're not just briefing about the weather. You're briefing about what happened if on the run up or while you're taking off, you have an engine failure, what do you do? What happens if you have an engine fire, what do you do? And that becomes, you're preparing them, the mindset and the mental model, so when it does occur, there's no surprise. And even when you're flying your family, you should brief the family.
Yep.
Right.
Absolutely, because the family could quickly become a distraction if it's not managed.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
We're speaking with Dr. Ian Johnson, a psychologist from the FAA Weather Research Branch. And following on that, the expectation of always having a briefing, we're going to talk about what we're going to do, and that, I suppose, that conditions everybody who's on the flight to not be as startled when something might go.
Exactly, because you know, it's just like before you take off, you do a holistic, I emphasis on the word holistic, pre-flight.
Mm-hmm.
So you're looking at all possibilities. So when something does happen, you're prepared. Like, you know where all your alternate airports are. But if you don't have that mental model, because you didn't do it on the ground, and now the weather changes, you know, you're gonna have a hard time trying to figure stuff out. There's more stress and pressure on you. And if your family's in the airplane, makes it worse.
Yeah.
So.
Involving them in the thinking too, a little bit.
Exactly.
Yeah, that would help. But I really like the idea of the briefing.
Yes.
Because I think we as instructors may underestimate how much the student really knows about the various things in the lesson plan, because some of it's brand new, some of it they're still internalizing a lot.
Exactly.
You know, Ian, it's sort of a curious behavior that can happen in that you do the same things over and over. So in one case, repetition brings familiarity, which makes things look easy, but familiarity also brings complacency.
Exactly. You hit it right in the head.
I've been there.
It just goes to say, the longer you do something, the more comfortable you get doing it. And you may be thinking that you're doing it the right way, but it's actually your way and not the right way.
Yep.
And eventually somebody has to tell you, hey, you know, this is not the right way to do it.
What about, I guess we're also kind of breaking the cycle of that bad behavior. Would it be good, let's say in your biennial, to rotate around instructors and not always go to the same one every time?
Exactly. And I always say, don't have a friend, don't get your friend to be your instructor. Mm-hmm. Because a lot of times they may allow you to do things or see things and not tell you about it.
Yeah,
because they don't want to ruin your friendship.
I tried to teach a girlfriend years ago to drive a stick. That didn't work out, actually.
Okay, there you go. So you know about that. But yeah, it's a topic that I think every pilot needs to be cognizant of. And I think the more we bring this to the forefront, I think hopefully pilots can get it.
It's if we could just wave a wand and create a situation where people take pride in doing it right all the time.
Right.
It will help kind of build the vigilance that, you know, we were talking about out there.
Right. So one of the things we do in aviation, we always look at the bad things, right?
Yeah.
Because bad things make news. But we want to start looking at what went right.
Yeah.
You know, a guy got himself into a situation, but he was able to get out of it and then use those lessons to try to teach pilots.
I used to work for Paul. I was one of his instructors at the airline.
Right.
And hopefully this makes him feel good. One of the things I would tell our new hire classes is that the most pride as a professional you should take is that the flight was completely boring and the passengers didn't notice anything about
exactly.
it. That is the job. That is the pride you take out of it.
Exactly. It means you did everything right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But and don't be afraid to critique yourself.
It takes work.
That's the job.
Yeah.
So what else will you talk about on the forum?
I talk about normalization. That's on Friday. But I had a forum yesterday where I talk about pilot resilience, because that's a big one, too. And those five attitudes I talked about.
Yeah.
I talk about the cognitive factors, the affective factors like get-home-itis, social pressures, and stuff like that, and how we tend to use shortcuts. Because once you start getting that stress level up, now you start to, you're not thinking, mm-hmm. right? So you can't make decisions.
And you've been doing a lot of research in what we've been talking about. Where do you see your research branching out in other areas? What do you see in the future for you looking at?
Well, in the future, we're looking at different tools that maybe we can use, help pilots, you know, cognitive tools. We're using one called PCAT, Pilot Cognitive Assistant Tool. It used to be called the Digital Copilot. But at the same token, it is back to the human.
Yeah.
Right? I can give you all the tools you need, but if you still have to do some of the legwork. Mm-hmm.
We have been speaking with Dr. Ian Johnson from the FAA Research Branch, probably the coolest psychologist I know.
Well, thank you very
much. If you can see the YouTube feed, he's got the sunglasses on. He's always wearing them. We really thank you coming back every year.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
It's a lot of fun. Thanks for all you're doing.
You're welcome.
And you're listening to EAA Radio.